listening to County Conversations, a podcast brought to you by the New York State Association of Counties. This episode features a presentation on Rescue EMS that was held at NYSAC's Legislative Conference. We are grateful to both of the following speakers for their service to the residents of New York State and for sharing their time and expertise with local officials. Alana Badgley, a paramedic and president of the International Association of EMTs and Paramedics Local 20 Union, speaks to her personal experience and what county officials need to know about the effort to make EMS essential.
I am here to bring you a message from the collective voice of the EMS provider. I am lucky for a lot of reasons. One of them is that I have the distinct privilege of representing literal heroes. As a paramedic and union president of 900 EMS professionals, I get to watch my coworkers save lives each and every day. And I also have the privilege of doing the same. Just last week, I was dispatched to save a man around my age who was found in a Target bathroom turning blue and breathing ineffectively. He was just barely clinging to life and experiencing an apparent overdose on opiates, which is unfortunately a very common call these days. My colleagues provided him with supplemental oxygen, forcing air into his lungs with mechanical breaths, while I started an IV and delivered life-saving medications to him. But even after those initial medications were given, he still remained in critical condition. So we then had to sedate, chemically paralyze, and intubate him. While we placed a tube into his trachea to breathe for him, on the floor of a Target bathroom, our patient turned from blue to pink, a sign that told us that oxygen was now circulating to his brain and other vital organs. It was only then that we started to lift him from the floor, put him on our stretcher, and start our transport to the hospital. We bring hospitals to our patients, and we save lives by doing so. Right now, life-saving is happening in the hands of EMS professionals everywhere around us, in homes, in restaurants, on highways, and on playgrounds. As I speak, lights and sirens are being used to respond to medical calls around this state. Overdoses are being reversed, heart attacks treated, and seizures stopped. Right now. When you have a medical emergency, you can dial 911 and heroes can respond in an ambulance. Right? That is the promise that our society has made to us. That is what we all expect. In many cases, it's still true. But that promise is also being broken. Every day. Around this state, people are also calling for help when no one is nearby or available to respond to their emergency. The way things have been working now, someone might wait hours for an ambulance, or one might not come at all. This is true in both the urban areas and the rural ones. For my patient in Target, that would have been the difference between his life and his death. You could say that he got lucky. Our unit happened to be in service and close by, and we were helping him breathe within 5 minutes of being called. But imagine for a moment, what if we weren't? Everyone in New York should get to be that lucky. Fate and local budgets should not dictate whether or not a life is saved. When we say make EMS essential, what we mean is live up to the promise that an ambulance will arrive when someone calls 911, that lives will be saved in the process. The EMS practitioners in this state want nothing more than to live up to that promise to our neighbors. But we must do so in a sustainable manner that does not break us down bit by bit in the process. The EMS system is broken. The system has been collapsing for years because we, as a society, have allowed it to. We've created a third-class system that is largely unfunded by the public, even though it is a publicly expected service. As a result, the providers themselves have also been devalued and blocked from a viable career of service as an out-of-hospital healthcare provider. We are an afterthought on budget lines, which is internalized not just by us, but by everyone around us. You will be hard-pressed to find someone out there who will say, "I want to be a paramedic when I grow up." Even paramedics don't want to be paramedics when we grow up. Everyone I work with has an exit strategy of some kind. Very few of those plans involve sticking around for 30 years to have a relaxing retirement. We are also broken. We are demoralized, we are tired, we are sick of being treated as third class and watching our communities suffer as a result. We can do better. We deserve better. So we must begin the process of fixing the broken system of EMS. And that starts with making EMS essential by creating funding structures that are sustainable and equitable, with offering more resources to the providers in the field. It starts with the legislative package proposed by NYSAC to rescue EMS. With this package, we can begin to ensure the equitable delivery of pre-hospital health care in every corner of this state. And in the process, we would be supporting the selfless EMS professionals in each of your counties who are out there every day saving lives against all odds. But don't take my word for it. When you go back to your districts, meet with your local EMS agencies and providers. Hear it directly from them. Ask them what they need. What would it take to keep your doors open and providers supported? Listen to the stories the heroes in your communities tell you about the lives saved and the lives lost. And then ask yourself what a life in your county is worth. I don't know what happened to my patient from Target after I left him in the ER. If he's like the vast majority of the many thousands of patients I've treated in the last 14 years, I'll never know what happened to him. What I do know is that he got the best shot possible at a continued life. Because I, a human being with the skills, knowledge, and bravery required to save his life, happened to be available and close by when he had his emergency. Please do what you can from your capacity to help us fix this broken system so that everyone else in this state is just as lucky.
Stephen Kroll, Chief of the Delmar Bethlehem EMS and Legislative Chair of the New York State Volunteer Ambulance and Rescue Association, goes into specifics of the impact of the Rescue EMS legislative package.
The number of active and certified EMS providers in New York State has decreased by 17.5% from 2019 to 2022. So in 2019, there were about 40,000, and in 2022, there were about 33,000. Now, for a state of 19 million people, that is not a lot of EMS providers. If you go back 10 to 15 years, it was even higher. So we have lost almost one-fifth of our workforce. Now, this is not people that have hold EMT cards or hold paramedic cards. This is people whose names actually appear in on a run sheet. So when we do an EMS call, we fill out paperwork that says where we went and what we did. All that goes into a state database, and on there is your certification number. We simply ran a list of the certification numbers. Who appeared on it? We have lots of people that are certified that don't work anymore. They do other things. And perhaps they're working elsewhere in healthcare, perhaps they retired, but the number of people on the streets is down by a fifth. So the number of agencies is down 10%, the number of people riding is down by a fifth. So how does that affect us? Well, we've got a very diverse EMS system. I represent the not-for-profit sector, so the volunteer ambulance squads. Some of them are all volunteer. Some of them are part volunteer and part paid. Jeff Call, who unfortunately is sick this morning, was going to be here from the United New York Ambulance Network. They represent the for-profit or commercial ambulance providers. If Jeff were here, it would be a lot of fun because we're very well aligned in what we're doing. The not-for-profit and for-profit community has the same legislative agenda. But the first thing I want to say is 2024 is a year of alignment. The EMS community, the workforce, and the agencies that provide the service are aligned. And we're really grateful for the partnership with NYSAC. And Ryan has been a great leader of this partnership with the Rescue EMS agenda. We all faced the same problem, and we came together, and Ryan started bringing people together months and months ago to form an agenda together that we could all be for, that would help counties do what needs to be done and help our industry. So nothing shows that more than the joint press conference we held in the Capitol in February that was in NYSAC News and was on the NYSAC website to unveil the Rescue EMS agenda. There's a press room in the legislative office building, and usually when you show up there for a press conference, you're hoping, gosh, I hope somebody shows up. I hope the press shows up. I hope it's a slow news day. They're going to cover my issue. Our issue is not necessarily the sexiest issue for public consumption, you know. So we get there, and we're 15 minutes in advance, and suddenly the room is packed. There was not an empty seat in the room, and there was a line of cameras across the back of the room. He did that, by the way, so Ryan gets the credit for it. But the point is that this is a major issue, and people care about this issue. And so it makes sense that the counties are having this conversation. So we're really pleased to be working together in alliance between labor and between management and between government to try and solve our crisis. So the industry has 100% endorsed the NYSAC Rescue EMS legislative program. What does essential service mean? Essential service means that a community has to have EMS. Believe it or not, there's no place that says a community has to have EMS. So we make it essential. But what NYSAC has done is saying, well, calling it essential doesn't change anything if we don't do anything to make it actually happen. And so I come from a county where we tried to form a special district that would be able to provide funding for an ambulance service that would fill gaps. And we had many, many meetings of local officials, and then we started inviting the county officials. And you know what we discovered? We really couldn't do it. We couldn't figure out how to get through it other than getting major legislation passed in Albany. So they would have to pass a bill that says, you know, this postage stamp of land in Albany County would have to have a special district. But if they be approved by virtually everybody, we couldn't figure out how to do it. We had to find other solutions. So I think the legislation that NYSAC has proposed, working with some of our senators and assembly members, has been spectacular in establishing these special districts. Now, what's special about this year is for the third year in a row, the governor of New York State has said, EMS is in a crisis, and I get it. For many years, we were just not able to get recognition from the highest levels that this is a crisis. But the governor of New York, 3 years in a row, has put EMS reforms in the budget, executive budget. Each year, in the past two, they've passed a few things, and now we have a much more comprehensive piece this year. But I feel like we're the cool kids in the legislature now. All the legislators want to work on EMS. They're all showed up at this press conference. They're knocking each other over. And, you know, Meg was sort of like the traffic cop. And there's this, like, you know, I'm standing in the front, and suddenly I got a line of legislators in front of me, and I'm going further, further back. And that's great because they're interested in this. They're interested in it because they're hearing about this in their communities and because they know that they need to be part of the solution. So the essential service piece is very important. The special district piece is very important. And that counties will have, counties can form an EMS plan. We worked very closely as an industry with NYSAC because there were some concerns about how we would all be affected. And we came up with some amendments to the proposals. Some amendments to the proposals that protect counties from exposure, and some amendments that protect ambulance services from being written out of existence by somebody who just can like cross them out of existence. And so we've sent those amendments to the legislature. So essentially, what this will allow is for a county to sit down with all the stakeholders and bring everyone to the table and say, okay, we're going to write a plan. Part of that plan can now be a financing that the county can do, a special district. Part of that can be a county that wishes to have an ambulance service be part of it. And there are a number of counties that have started the ambulance services that are filling gaps all over the state. I come from Albany County. We happened to do it many years ago. We recognized that the volunteer ambulance services were slowly eroding, and the sheriff started an ambulance service that has not competed with ambulance services, but has filled gaps. As communities' volunteer ambulance services have sunset, the sheriff has been able to respond to those calls, so we haven't seen those gaps here. So the special districts is very important. There's a legislation on tax cap relief. Can we take EMS out of the tax cap for reforming it? And I think that's been important because I know I've had conversations with our local community when I go and speak with the local officials about what we need to do. And they say, gee, you've asked me for X amount of money. That's my whole tax cap, right? If we give you all that you've asked for, there will be no other money we can spend anyplace else without exceeding the tax cap. Why do we come in asking for money? Well, we're all upstaters, right? So we know Stewart Shops, right? Great company. We lose employees from EMS to Stewart Shops. Why? Because we were paying paid EMS workers $15 or $16 an hour. And you can get a job in Stewart Shops. So I used to go around to Stewart Shops all over the state. You see the post. And by the way, I love Stewart's. This is nothing negative about Stewart's. It's a great company to work for. I understand that they have hundreds of employees who've become millionaires or through the, in their retirement plan through their stock ownership program. We, on the other hand, can't offer competitive salaries. And we can't offer pensions. We can't offer stock. We sometimes can't even offer health insurance. We have EMS employees who have to get their health coverage for the New York Health Insurance Exchange at a discounted rate because they could never afford health insurance. So we're paying $14, $15, $16 an hour to EMTs. These are people that are going to walk into your house when you're bleeding or when you're really, really sick. And that's all we pay them. So we had to do something as an industry. So in my community, we've gone from $15 or $16 an hour to $20 or $21 an hour, but we had to figure out how to pay for that. And so we asked government for help with that, and government's been able to help, but they had to go through extraordinary means because there was no tax cap relief for them, right? That would eat up the tax cap. We were just fortunate to get it done. So that's a very important piece of EMS. Other parts of the legislative package, volunteer incentives. We still have thousands of EMS volunteers throughout our state that want to serve. But life is more complicated than it was 10 years or 20 years ago. There are very few people whose jobs let them leave to go volunteer. So in the old days, if you worked for the town or the county and the fire or ambulance pager went off, you'd just tell your boss, hey, I got an ambulance call, I'm leaving, and you'd just go. Well, town workforces are more... are slimmed down, county workforces are slimmed down. The days of people who were working and could just go on an ambulance call are over. Life is more complicated for families today. It's more common to have two person in a household working, not one, and not somebody who's home when the kids are in school who can go take ambulance calls. So volunteerism is under stress, and so we've been working to increase the incentives. And so you've been a big part of that. Legislative packages have been part of that. There's now the ability of counties to give tax relief on and towns on local property taxes, which is it's a big amount of money. And so we calculated it in my county. We get a pretty I get a pretty good tax break, and it because it's spread over a population of the whole county, it doesn't cost the tax. It's not a big it doesn't cost any individual citizen a lot of money in their taxes. No, we're not raising people's taxes a lot of money to give the volunteers that tax break. But there were administrative things that the tax break didn't work. You could take the tax break, but then you'd have to give up your New York State tax credit. That didn't make any sense. So there's legislation to increase the size of the New York State tax credit and to allow people to take both the tax credit and the tax exemption. So that's an important part of the package. Another really neat thing is called treat in place. So today, an ambulance gets paid to do only one thing, to take you to the hospital. So we now are working on programs where we can bring telemedicine doctors right into the house with the paramedic. So we have this diabetic person I described. We give them the glucose, they wake up, we give them the peanut butter sandwich. Now they get on the video with a doctor for 5 minutes, an emergency room doctor who's waiting for this call at their desk because this is what they do for a living, they do telemedicine, and can have a conversation about with the patient about why did this happen? What can you do to make it better? Do you need to improve your eating habits? Do you need to go see your endocrinologist? And then the doctor can help the paramedic make the decision, okay, we can keep this person at home. Well, emergency room bill of $1,000, doctor bill of, I don't know, $100, $150, $75, whatever it is. You know, there's a big, big disparity there in savings. So we're pushing this concept forward in legislation that will allow treat in place, that will allow that to be paid for. So right now it is not paid for. When we do that, we as EMS agencies eat the cost. So I look at the cost for my EMS agency. If I factor in all the calls we can't get paid for, my cost per call goes up $100 because I have to spread over the ones we do get paid for all those that we don't get paid for. So that's a big factor. The other thing that's in this package is the ability for an ambulance to take people to alternate destinations. Right now, we're only allowed to take people to the emergency room. Now, in most counties, there are not a lot of them, right? In rural counties especially, there's one. In a couple counties, we have zero. But can we take a patient to a doctor's clinic? Why not? Can we take a patient to an urgent care center? Why not? If I slice my finger and I need a couple sutures, I do not need to go to emergency room. I need to go to a doctor who can suture me. And many doctors do that procedure in their office, and many clinics can do that in the clinic. The last thing I'll talk about is Medicaid. We get paid far less than it costs every time we take somebody who's being paid for by Medicaid to the hospital. So essentially, the ambulance services are subsidizing the program. Now, in the old days, private health insurance would basically pay us more than it costs, and it would cross-subsidize each other. We call it the cost shift. But two things have happened. Fewer people have private health insurance, and more people are on Medicaid as Medicaid has grown. And secondly, private health insurers got tired of paying more than it cost, so they kind of cranked the rates down. So now, they will pay you basically what it costs, and we're left with Medicaid paying less than it costs and no place to make that up. So 28% of the New York State population, let's see, I got the number here. 28% of the New York State population is now covered by Medicaid. We provide care to all patients. It's just what we do. We've never, my EMTs and paramedics never ask a patient for their insurance card before treating them. It's different than when you walk into a doctor's office, right? You don't get past the front desk without either giving them your insurance card or signing an agreement that you'll pay. And now there's signs that say, you know, there's a $25 fee if you don't pay during the visit and stuff like that. We don't do that. We take everybody to the hospital. It's just who we are and what we do. So we are pushing for the state to increase what we are paid. We're asking the state to pay us on Medicaid the same that that the federal government pays us on Medicare. That's a spread of about 30 to 35%. So we got an increase from the state last year after 20 years of no increases, and we felt good about that. But now we're flat funded again. So we're pushing in the state budget over the next 3 years, close the gap between the Medicaid payment rate to the Medicare rate. So bring it up. They can do it 10% a year. They can do it 5% a year and do it over 4 years. But take us on that path so when we treat somebody who's on Medicaid, we get paid what it costs us to, or closer to what it costs, so that we can basically balance our budgets. Because otherwise, we have to go back to, I mean, we got three ways to make money. We can ask people for donations, which volunteer ambulance squads do, right? We can go to government, local government, and say, give us more money, or we can get it through the revenue we recover in billing insurers. Medicaid is becoming one of the biggest insurers, and it doesn't pay us what it costs. So really, when Medicaid underpays me and I go to my town supervisor or my county and say, hey, can you help us? I'm really asking you to make up for the state shortfall. The state's not paying its fair price for what we do. It would be great to have a dialogue with you. I can think of a couple really important things here. Number one, as a representative of the industry, we want to hear about your challenges. Number two, we know that solutions are one, not one size fits all. And each one of you have a unique circumstance, and we have to adjust our strategies when we learn about that. And number three, we want to encourage local dialogue, right? We want to encourage county officials to gather their ambulance services together, talk about the problems, get out in front of them. We never want an ambulance service to call up a county or town official and go, we just want to let you know we're closing in 30 days. Well, if they call you with that means that this problem has existed for years and someone's been too proud or for whatever reason to talk about it with you. We need to have those conversations going. And the Rescue EMS package actually encourages or forces those conversations to happen.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of NYSAC's County Conversations podcast. Make sure to visit our website at nysac.org/rescueEMS for resources and additional context. Our podcast covers a range of county-focused topics, so also make sure to subscribe to stay up to date.